You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back to Mino and the Mayor, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3, 96.5 FM, WISS. Jim, introduce our next guest.
All right. We all love children's museums, right? And they just really help kids engage with each other, but really learn something fun learning. And down in Appleton, you're doing it right. It's actually called the Building Future Kids?
The Building for Kids, Children's
Building Museum. For Kids. Yep. I thought Future. I thought the F was Future. But Building for Kids, Children's Museum, right on College Avenue. You've done some renovations there. You've upgraded some of the programming. Tell us about it.
Who's our special guest, Jim?
I don't know, John.
Julie Dressing. How are you doing? Director of Communications. Good to see you here.
Thank you.
Building for Kids, Family Valentine's in Appleton.
Right. So this weekend is obviously Valentine's Day. And one of the things that we like to do at the Building for Kids is to ensure that there is a lot of family activities. So we are open Tuesday through Sunday, 9 to 4, and with the Saturday being a good opportunity to have family Valentines, which gives us the ability to have families come in and celebrate together. So there's themed-based activities. There's our Food to Grow exhibit we're doing. Some heart-based activities. We're also having the Gold Cross come in to speak a little bit. So it's just a good event to kind of share the love throughout the family.
What's the Gold Cross?
The Gold Cross ambulance will be here to help with the heart health activity.
That's
in
awesome.
The lab. Yeah.
And you obviously incorporate this with Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
With the whole thing.
That's very heart-themed.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Fun with hearts.
I know.
Exactly.
So what are some of the festive projects the kids are going to be making?
Oh, so what will be really great is in our Food Grow that I mentioned, you can build your own heart-healthy smoothie, which will be very fun and delicious.
There you go.
In our studio, it's Put the Art in Heart. In how many ways can you use hearts in your art?
Nice.
So, yeah, our studio is really great. We have a lot of opportunity there to kind of use whatever artistic creation you can. And it's really great for the families and kids to kind of work together.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny, though. I mean, just by chance, we got this whole theme going today about helping out people with different ways and different types of therapies. And we were talking about one of the projects with the Wellness Command Post, archery, clay, painting, all these different artistic things are really used as almost like a conduit towards something else, aren't they?
They really are. It really gives the opportunity for people, and this isn't just children, this is children and their grown-ups,
exactly,
to be able to kind of express themselves through their art. And we love that we're able to give that opportunity to everyone.
I think that's awesome.
So the whole family's invited.
Yes, absolutely. So children and their grown-ups, that's what we like to say, right? I mean, that could be grandparents, that can be their parents, that can be their aunts and uncles. Really, what we like to do there is to provide intergenerational play. So everything that we have there is actually also very fun for adults. So a lot of our exhibits are just a place to build creativity, to develop motor-based skills for some of the kids, but also just for a time to make those memories together. So if it's family Valentine's, you know, you're spending that time together building those memories, which are kind of
beautiful.
Irreplaceable.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I got boxes at home I could still dig into totes with my daughters where they made the Valentines or whatever. I still save every one of those. That's still a special thing.
I know, right? So throughout the week before our family Valentines, I mean, feel free to come in because we are going to be offering that opportunity to make Valentines. So it's not just family Valentines. It's just what we're doing throughout the week, what we do basically day by day is to give that opportunity for kids to kind of thrive and to with their grown-ups, like I said.
And I think that's cool. They're making things, but talk about that whole eat heart healthy snacks. That's always been an issue, and sometimes the way to get kids to eat healthy isn't through their parents, it's through the kid, and have them come home and say, you know, I'd rather have this than that.
Right. Well, sometimes when it comes to that, too, is just kind of showing that even using simple ingredients, just a few ingredients, because you know how sometimes kids can have more than one ingredient, they get a little, you know. So it's just making sure that we're promoting healthy heart through cutting fruits, we're measuring, we're helping with the blender. It's just showing them the opportunity to how to make these healthy foods and to teach them. And that's what's great about our Food to Grow exhibit, is because really it shows not just how we get food from the grocery store, it shows different opportunities. There's farmers markets, there's, you know, picking fruits off of trees. So it's just a good opportunity to show kids the multiple ways that you can have healthy food in your life.
Besides the sugar cookies that we have every Valentine's Day. Besides that.
Because
that you gotta stay with tradition. You don't mess with tradition.
But Julie, we did a survey one time and it was, I don't know what the numbers were, but how many kids thought that certain things came from the grocery store?
Oh, I'm
right?
Yes, because, well, I mean, that's what's wonderful about this, is that it's showing them that there's multiple ways to put healthy food into your body. And that it doesn't necessarily have to fit into the package of just going to the grocery store. Obviously, that is one great opportunity. But there's also other ways to find fresh food, to make healthy recipes. I mean, what's really great about our Food to Grow exhibit is we have kind of like our vegetables and whatnot, and they have these little sensors in them. So when you go and put it through the checkout, it recognizes it and it shows you recipes you can make from
your mouth. Kidding.
Yes.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
It's, right? So it kind of shows.
So say that again. Start from the beginning with that. This is really interesting. I was hoping that would be at a real checkout place, because when I get my fruit, I never know how to check that out for the self-serve.
Right. So a part of our Food to Grow exhibit, when you take, you know, kids will go through, or kids and their grown-ups will go through, and they'll kind of collect vegetables. They'll collect green peppers and cucumbers or what have you, eggs. And when they go to check out, the little sensor in them will show what it is. And then of all the items that are in there, it kind of suggest there's the opportunity to see what recipe you can make with
that.
What
a great idea that is.
Sell that to festivals.
Yeah, any place. That's true. I love that.
I know. It's a really great opportunity to show, you know, to show.
Does it show
children.
Carbs? So I'm always worried about my carb content. Just asking. Kids might want that.
They might.
What's the carb content?
Yeah. But we also show, like,
I just found out this morning that my new favorite food, sardines in Louisiana hot sauce, has a lot of calories and fat. Right, Todd?
Sardines?
Yes.
Well, yeah, it's got fatty oil.
Right. But those are omega-3s. Like I said, I am a walking omega-3 these days in my new diet.
Yeah.
I really am.
I mean, there's benefits to that, too.
Okay. Fine.
So I was going to develop a credit card that only let you check out
that's right.
food. Can you imagine that?
Ooh, that's a good idea.
But I don't know. So you put the chocolate through there, it wouldn't get through. You know, it's like, you know, just kind of like going out the door with a stolen item. But anyway, I think that's great. You're teaching those kids that. Yeah. So children's museums, those are just very professional buildings. What's the cost to something like this? If people want to join, do you have programs going on now?
Right, we do. So honestly, our best opportunity is to have a membership, because really, if there's a family of four, for example, if you visit four times in a year, you've already met the value of your membership.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you change things up more than four times a year.
Oh, boy. Yeah. We had, last year, we opened or renovated four plus exhibits, mm-hmm. including our Welcome Center.
Right.
So, and then we have our exhibit gallery, which is our traveling space. Right now we're doing Planet Imagination, which is such a fun place. It is a space where you can use the materials we have in there to build your own planet, and the kids just love it. And so that space then will then this fall turn into an amazing castle.
There you go.
Very exciting.
Boy, you guys sure bring some interesting elements to walking through those doors, don't you?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And you're located on College Avenue. You've been on College Avenue for some time. Is this Appleton, or is it open to anybody? You know, sometimes these things are a little bit regional and outside people. pay more outside the region, or is it one flat price for Green Bay, Appleton, Oshkosh?
So wherever you come from, we have one flat price.
Okay, cool.
Right? But there's also benefits to the membership, where if you get a family membership, then there are reciprocal benefits for people that are out of town. Let's say they're from Milwaukee, and they usually go to the Children's Museum there. They can come to our museum as a part of that reciprocal benefit.
Nice.
And then there's also our Access Initiative, our Access for All Initiative, which is for those who may have barriers financially, barriers for transportation, barriers for accommodation, that we have funds through wonderful donations and partnerships that allow us to make sure that everyone has access to play.
Great.
Tell everybody again what's going on Saturday, February 15th.
Saturday, February 15th. We are open from 9 to 4, and we are having our family Valentines, which is a lot of opportunities for families to engage in themed activities and engage in our Food to Grow exhibit. Our lab will have heart health with medical professionals, asking you to think and learn and share.
That's great.
Yeah.
Do you have kids?
I do. He's 6.
Okay.
Yeah. He loves it there.
I was just going to say, he could tell my mom has the coolest job in the world. Yeah. And I love going to work with my mom.
Pretty much. Yes. Pretty much. That's exactly it.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Wow. That must be fun. How did you get involved in something like this? What's the passion?
So I was lucky enough to be one of the first, I guess, if you could quote, classes that when the building for kids opened in a certain year, it was 92, right?
Oh.
Not to date myself, but I
wouldn't mention that.
But I was actually lucky enough to be one of the first kids to go through that exhibit, and I remember how inspired I was, and that stayed with me. It stayed in my heart, and now I want to bring that to the other kids in the area.
I was going to say that once you have something like that, it doesn't really leave.
You'll
remember that. I mean, whether it's sights or sounds or whatever. Remember the first Packer game I came to when I was a little kid?
Yeah.
And I can still see it walking into that field and seeing that field down there. And every time I walk into Lambeau Field since that day of 1967 or whatever, I get that same feeling.
Yep.
So it's the same kind of thing with you, isn't
it? Oh, my God. And to be able to share that with my son and to be able to share that with the kids and their grown-ups throughout the community now, it warms my heart. It makes it grow.
Good for you. I mean, you've got that, you know, they say chase your passion or, you know, it's the old corny line, but it's true. You know, get something you love and you're not working. And it seems like, I mean, everybody has bad days. There's still, there's a reason they pay you to do it. But that's just awesome that you get to share that with your son, exactly what you did back in your day.
Yep.
I mean, all way back in 1992. My God. Wow. Young people really bug me sometimes. You're awesome. This is great stuff. Julie Dressing, Director of Communications, Building for Kids, Family Valentines. Join them on Saturday between 9 and 4. Family-oriented. Valentine's Day, all about spending time with the people you love. Explore many themed activities around the museum. Festive projects, Valentine's Day card, heart-healthy snacks for the entire family. Stop on down. You're located?
100 West College Avenue, downtown Appleton.
Beautiful place to be.
Can't miss it.
Thank you so much for being here, Julie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Back with Emerson Lehman from Action 2 News after this.
Did slowly go by.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Mano the Mayor here in WGBW and WISS. Emerson Lehman, Action 2 News, joining us right now. What is going on, Emerson? I know you got your great series taking place.
I do. I was so honored to get an email asking if I'd come talk about small towns. You can never pass up a chance to hang
Absolutely.
Out with Mano and the Mayor.
There you go. Well, what small town are you heading to? Actually, it's not a small town this time, right?
Yeah, so this one, it's part of a larger municipality, so to speak. I headed to Appleton. We're going to go down to Jones Park. So if you've been downtown Appleton, you've probably seen Jones Park down in the valley right there, down the hill.
And it's a great place.
It's awesome. And they have a really cool winter setup down there where they've got the ice hockey rink.
Yeah.
And they love playing pickup hockey down there. I was just scrolling through Facebook one day and I saw a post in their Appleton pickup ice hockey group. And I thought, man, that looks like a fun time. Let's go check that out. And
yeah,
it's just so cool to chat with people of all ages, all out there enjoying the sport of hockey.
And one of those unique things a lot of people might not know about, because it's not on the sports pages or the whatever. But
yeah, they just have their own little Facebook group there.
And passionate about that.
One gentleman I spoke with, he's been playing out there since the 60s, enjoying himself. So quite the experience out there. And they're just they love the game of hockey. They love being out there with everybody. And so much fun to showcase that. I'm excited for people to see it.
That's cool as heck.
There are so many small towns, and people want to preserve that. You know, parochial is not the right word, but they're just very proud of their small towns.
And it's so cool. Like,
right.
Like you mentioned, the pride thing. So, like, I'm from a small town, and I grew up. I'm still very proud of it. And
what
proud
town?
To be there. Hewoskum. So,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, Wisconsin guy. Very proud to be from there. And I kind of embraced that when I took this series over for Jeff Alexander, who did such a great job building it up with our photojournalist, Michael Bergman. And yeah, just to be able to go to these different communities and share these stories, they're so happy when we're there.
And it's really not the structure. It's the people that make that small town, right? I mean, you talk about the guy playing
100%. Yeah. It's not just you have these communities where, oh, there's a few buildings here and there, a few businesses, but
right,
it's the individuals, the characters and their stories. That's what we try and focus on. It's not so much, oh, look, we're going to Pulaski today. Here's how many people, all this stuff. It's, oh, no, let's find that interesting person who has a really cool story to share and is super passionate about what they do, where they live, and then bringing that all together.
And how cool is that to find someone kind of born and raised, you know, and they're right?
I'm so honored to be the one doing it. When Jeff announced he was retiring after, I think it was 30 years here in Green Bay, it was big shoes to fill, and people right off the bat were so supportive and trusting that I was going to be able to keep it going. And with the direction of Michael Bergman, our photojournalist, he's definitely kept me pointed in the right direction so far, and it's been
good. Well, it's still great. The bottom line. Just tell a story. Tell their story.
Exactly.
And 90% of the time, they'll tell their own story.
I try and talk as little as I can
exactly
in those stories. I let them share what they're saying, and they've all done a great job. I believe we've had 5 that have aired so far. And it's just gonna continue every
good
week.
Good for you, man.
So much fun.
Where do the leads come from? I mean, because Wisconsin has a lot of small towns.
Yeah, they do.
And we have Milwaukee, Madison, and Green Bay. But after that, they get smaller and smaller. And there's municipalities, there's 500 that are over 50,000 or something, maybe 700. But there's just a lot of small towns, which I think is like really cool when you get to 10,000, you know, and or less.
So I was pretty fortunate where Jeff had quite the list of story ideas that he couldn't even get to.
He had some contacts.
Yeah,
out there.
So I went through, I picked some of those that I'm like, oh, this one looks cool, or I'd like to experience this one as well. And then I also get very lucky where every Thursday when a story airs, usually I'll get one or two emails saying,
no
hey,
question,
check this place out next.
I got a guy you should talk to.
Exactly. Yeah. People are so passionate about it, and there's not really appointment viewing as much anymore in this day and age where people can always just get their news wherever they go. So, you know, you try and still bring people into the newscasts. And I would say small towns is still, fortunately, because of what Jeff has built it to, it's appointment television for some folks where, okay, 6 o'clock on Thursdays, I got to tune in because small towns is on. I want to see where they're going this week. Yeah. And that, again, adds to the pressure of making sure you don't fall on your face and
keep
and
that
do
bar
that.
High.
So, exactly. But, I think we've been doing a decent job so far. I hope people out there agree. And
people can relate to.
Exactly. You can, if you want to, you want to go play hockey this weekend.
Yeah.
You go put on some skates and you can go play at Jones Park.
If
you know, you can go check these different places out and experience it. And that's what I like to do too, is go to places where anybody can go experience it and learn about this small town. And some folks have emailed us saying, I've never been to this community, or I didn't know this was here. I went back there to check this out because of that story, which is pretty special as well.
Good for you.
And I think you're down to something in that the news isn't always great. You know, I mean, accidents, fires, whatever, weather. And that small town thing just brings you back to, you know, something a lot more wholesome, which is what this whole country is built on, if you think about it.
I have never shied away in my career so far. You know, I have so much respect for the investigative reporters out there and the folks that can really dig into the documents and break those types of stories. I also think it's just as important to share the stories with people that the good in the community, right? Making people smile. And that's, I think that's just as important. And I've always kind of, that's been my knack, I guess, in my career so far. And yeah, this series has definitely helped me continue to do that.
With Emerson Lehman, Action 2 News, Small Towns segment. When's it going to air? When's your next one airing, Emerson?
Next one, so every week, Thursdays at 6 p.m. on Action 2 News at 6. And then we air it again the next morning as well. You can also tune in. We usually do like a debrief with Chris Roth at 4:30, kind of previewing it ahead of time.
That's kind of a neat little segment.
It is. It's really cool.
Chris does a nice job with that.
He's a fantastic person.
Is Brad still doing the Magnificent Minute or whatever?
Yeah, Fantastic 3 Minutes.
Or whatever it is.
I forget the exact title.
Right.
Yeah, he does that, and it's great. Just a lot of, you know, cross promotion. You know, Chris, we're able to kind of sit down more and just have a conversation like we're doing right now with Chris, and you know, remind people to tune in. And then every Thursday at 6, we've got a new story.
Has Kowalskum been featured yet?
Not yet. They're kind of like right on that
precipice,
right between the Green Bay Milwaukee. Yeah. So maybe we'll try and figure something out, but at this point, not yet.
Oh, that's your hometown. Tell them, we want to hear about Kowalskum.
We'll make
happen. We'll start a letter writing campaign. We'll get that going.
Perfect.
All right. We're going to stick around, right? Yes?
Yep.
Okay, great. Perfect. Yeah, we'll talk to you a couple of things that you're working on besides the small town thing. You're a great reporter. I know you've been nominated for a couple things, and keep up the good work on that. We'll talk about that.
All right.
Yeah, we've all been nominated. Don't get me started.
Hey, wait a minute. Did you see it up on the wall?
Yeah.
Your two things out there? Your second place awards?
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for the second place award, Todd.
Todd got first.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you got me all ticked off. Emerson.
I didn't say it. Say something. Good look around.
This is your hometown. Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Emerson Lehman, Action 2 News, our very special guest, Small Towns segment preview, talking about Thursday night in Appleton, where they still play pickup hockey on a regular basis. What are some of the types of stories, when you decide you're going to take over this beat, what are some of the stories you've wanted to tell? And it doesn't have to be a specific guy who does, you know, whatever, but just in general to put your spin, because you don't want to just do Jeff Alexander. Jeff Alexander was great, and he was Jeff Alexander. And it's almost like, you know, it's funny with, I was just reading this morning about the Lakers with Doncic going there, and LeBron sent him a text. He says, and in one of the interviews, he said, well, I just want to fit in. He goes, we don't want you to just fit in. We want you to be you.
Yep.
You bring what you bring to the party. That's what we want. And it's almost that same type of thing. Same general category, but your own personality and spin.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I was fortunate when I first started here in Green Bay, they gave me a series called Wisconsin Adventures. And I was going around to these different communities and really, oh, that looks fun. I'm going to try it myself and trying it on TV. And I kind of, when I was given the opportunity to do Small Towns, I've kind of meshed the two together, so to speak. So last week, so folks watching tuned in, we went ice boating.
Oh, cool.
I introduced two of the characters that have really kind of been staples in that community. Well, then I jumped in the back of one of the ice boats and we're taking videos.
Crazy,
and riding.
Aren't they?
Insane.
Yeah.
I'd never
heard
of it.
I did it one time, yeah.
Remarkable. I would recommend it to anybody. If you are a little bit of a daredevil, you don't mind the speed factor, jump in and do that.
You're going to be kind of shocked.
It was so cool. And so kind of things like that, you know, just showing, you know, we can get out there and you can go to these small towns, these small communities, and they've got some really awesome things to offer. So not only highlighting the characters and the people that make them so special, like Jeff did so well and like I'm trying to continue to do, but then also when those opportunities to jump in the back of an ice boat present themselves, like, yeah, I'll do that. So any adventures like that, it's kind of fun to add into it.
You know what? Let me tell you one advantage. You guys, you young kids in the TV world here, well, you got over it. But you guys technically can do so much more with GoPros and everything.
Yes.
Like I remember one time, wow, I had this huge thing and I did a story at a stock car race and actually duct taped a camera in the back of the seat of the car type thing, you know?
And just hoping it didn't rattle around.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
But that was like, whoa, you know, the big deck and the whole thing. Now, what you guys can do video-wise with the cameras and everything, that's got to be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. The GoPros, like you mentioned, just honestly, in the ice boat, I was the GoPro, the battery would die so quickly because of how cold it was.
Yeah.
I just pulled out the cell phone real quick and got some video there too. You know, it whatever works, those handhelds, when you get in those tight situations like that, it's great. Yep. We had a drone flying above us as well. So it was a really fun one to put together. Yeah. And yeah, like I said, I'd never heard of ice boating until someone emailed us saying, hey, you should do this for small towns. And we did it the next week.
Hang
it was
on.
Awesome. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Hang on.
So how long does it take you to do a story? Because they're so in-depth that I got to imagine a lot of stuff ends up on the cutting room floor. Because you, once you get there, did you talk to this guy? Did you talk to this person? Did you see this? Did you see that? And you've got to have just a plethora of things you could talk about.
There's a lot to go through. Yeah. So we try and, Michael and I, we really try and work ahead, try and stay, you know, 3 to 4 weeks ahead, just so we can make sure we put the proper time into the writing aspect, the editing aspect. So we'll go shoot it. I anchor the morning show, so we're on air from 4:30 to 7:30. Then if we have a whatever shoot is set up, we try and do a shoot a week. We'll get out the door whatever day that is, go drive to whatever small town we're going to that week, do the shoot, come back. The next day I'll probably go through, log all those interviews, pick the bites that
which
I really want to use. That's the hard work. Yeah.
That's the work.
That's the tough part. But you know, that part,
that's the grind part.
And you may agree with this, having been in there's like programs now that you can kind of let the computer log it for you. I don't like doing that.
They're close. I do that for the books I write. Yeah. Actually, Todd does it for me, where I just take my tape recorder, stick it into the laptop, and it transcribes everything. But a few words off can really throw you for a loop.
And also, when you're listening to it, I'll kind of make a note like, okay, that was a good line where, you know, you could feel that, you could hear the emotion. You could, like, it takes a little bit more time, but it adds to the magic of it, I think, of the story.
1,000,000% agree. Yeah.
So I try and...
It's not just the actual words, it's how they're presented.
Exactly. So it, I guess that's a little bit of an old school way, but I go through it and I'm time coding each spot and noting, okay, I'd like to really make sure that one makes it in, or make sure this line gets in there. Exactly.
You've got to do that.
So, you know, we take our time. So that usually takes, I'd say, a couple hours, depending how long those interviews can go.
No question.
And then once you go with that, once that's over with, the next day is when
fun part.
You kind of put the puzzle pieces together, right? Yeah. And so it's I would say each story would probably be a 3-day process when you kind of piece everything together on top of, you know, anchoring the morning show and doing stuff like that. So it's a project that keeps me quite
full
busy.
Day, my man.
Yeah, it keeps me busy. So,
and I don't, living where we do, you know, your reach is what, 1 million people about?
In the region itself, probably a little less, but yeah, across Northeast Wisconsin, I'd say, yeah, the 600, 800,000, something.
The point I was going to make is within that viewing area, there are a lot of small towns.
Tons. Yeah. Northeast Wisconsin. you've got the Fox Valley, you've got the Green Bay.
It's never going to be like, we don't have any more stories.
We did that one already.
We covered everyone.
Yeah, no.
And I mean, I've gone back to some communities that I know Jeff has done some in the past, but you find different stories, right? And then, but yeah, I would love to, if I could hit every single one and not have a repeat, that'd be fantastic.
I got some story ideas for you, military themed, if you don't mind.
Fantastic.
Okay.
I would love them.
I'll send them your way.
Please do. I'm always open to the ideas, and there's a good chance I'll probably be doing one. So, but yeah, it's so cool to be able to go to these communities. And you mentioned before the break, you know, just the pride that they have in their community. When they see the news crew there, there's so many people that they're turning and looking, and they're trying to, like, oh, what are they here for? And then
first thing is, what happened?
Exactly. And then, you know, we put our teases out on social media, and they'll share them to their own community groups and whatnot. And it's just been the Little Chute community, their village shared it, and they were so proud of their fire inspector, Marty. We did a story with him. He's getting an award in a couple weeks because of the story we did that kind of brought attention to
it.
So shout out to Marty. And it's really fun to be able to go to these communities because, like I said, I know how special it is to have the news show up for something good in your community.
Well, you were in a bad spot, though, Kawaska, if you're looking for that back in the day, because you're Milwaukee's like, oh, that's too far that way. Green Bay's, oh, that's Milwaukee.
Yeah, it was it's right in the middle. Some folks, they were happy that I moved to Green Bay because they're like, oh, we can watch you now. Other folks who, when I was working in Milwaukee, they're like, oh, man, we're not going to be able to see you anymore. It's literally right down the middle. So
I used to get that from people in Sheboygan.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing.
Another one of those places.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's tricky, but you know, with
really
live streaming and stuff
when
now.
You do, though.
Yes, and they love it. And when I was in Milwaukee, I think I did a story in Kewaskum probably 3 or 4 times. And people were like, "We've had more coverage in 2 years than we've had in 20." So
that was your beat.
You know, you got to keep
people
informed
that
way.
Got to be kind of fun though, going back to your small town
so much fun.
As a TV guy, and it's got to be kind of fun.
It is fun. People.
Some of those girls that turned you down for this. Dances, they coming out now.
Look at me now, ladies.
No, how you doing?
It's fun just to go back in so many, like a lot of like my, it's fun when, you know, grandma or grandpa will be, oh my gosh, my friend was watching. They said, I saw your grandson, or my parents, a lot of their friends at work and whatnot. It's cool. I enjoy it.
Got a text here from Marsha. Emerson, I don't know if you remember me. I sat next to you in social studies. No, that's not the text. The text is from Marsha that says, how's Emerson's pickleball game doing?
Marsha, I have been playing so much pickleball. I probably play 3, 4, sometimes 5 times a week.
Come on. You serious?
Yeah, man.
Where do you play?
You dead serious?
I kid you not. I play Tuesday nights. I usually will probably play Wednesday. I'll play Thursday afternoons, and then I'm usually playing over the weekend. Yeah, it's the joys of working as in morning news. Once I get done around 12:30.
The afternoons are free.
If there's group in the afternoons, early evenings, let's go play pickleball. So, yeah, we just had the Badger State Games a couple weeks ago. I podiumed there. That was fun. And, yeah, it's been... It's been getting, I hope it's getting better. I should be better than what I am for the amount that I play, but I have fun. It's good exercise, and we get out on the pickleball court.
Similar to golf.
Every time I sit in this chair, whether it's with you guys or a nightlight, pickleball somehow comes up.
Well, let me ask
I love
you
it. It's a great time.
Okay, so I go to the Croc Center, okay?
Yeah.
And they kind of closed off one half of the gym for pickleball
sure.
now. Okay. And there's two types of pickleball players. There's people that are just having a nice time, just getting it back and forth. And then some guys that have a look in their eye where they're walking onto center court at Wimbledon, and if woof, woof, which level are you at?
So,
would you agree there's a big difference?
There very much is, yes. Tammy Elliott, my wonderful co-anchor, she always
Who's
says,
that?
Tammy Elliott? Haven't heard of her, have you?
Yeah.
No. may be familiar to some folks here. And
you need to go to her hometown.
I do.
Do you know where her hometown is?
Or are we talking Ashwaubenon?
No.
Are we talking UP? Okay,
yeah. We're talking like Hurley, Wisconsin.
We can get up there too.
Okay.
Yeah, she says that I'm probably a very different. She thinks I'm a very different person on the pickleball court. She's right. I'm pretty competitive. I love playing in tournaments, and when you play in the tournament, you want to win the tournament or at least medal in the tournament, right? So, I still try to have a good time. I think folks that I've played with recreationally would agree with that. I'm not like out there cussing at people and whatnot, but I also get pretty fired up when we're in a competitive atmosphere and we're winning or doing well. So yeah, it's a good time.
So singles, doubles, you gotta
do a little bit of. I hate singles, but I play it. It's so much running and court to cover, and then I've got a few different partners that I'll play with consistently for tournaments too. So
were you a tennis player?
I was. So I played tennis in high school. I almost played college tennis. I probably wasn't going to be very good in college, I'll be honest. And I thought the broadcasting career would be a better avenue to try and pursue. So I went to Ball State to do that instead and trying to play some D3 tennis.
Wow. Oh, my God, okay. Ball State, where Letterman went to school.
Sure. Letterman went to school.
Yes, sir.
And the new coach for the Southwest football played at Ball State.
Oh, there we go.
BJ Hill?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know
there
that.
There we go. We got a connection. Chirp, chirp. Yeah,
there
I love
you go.
It.
Take,
love Ball State.
Why don't you take him on in something athletically?
Might have to. I'm sure I would be put in my place very quickly, so...
So let me ask you this, though. If you're can you be a good pickleball player if you're not a good tennis player?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, you can. I love pickleball because, like, in the kind of more competitive divisions, like the ones I play, you got kind of the younger folks who played racquetball, tennis, things like that, ping pong. But I mean, there's some really good volleyball players that play. One of my partners, he's a fantastic volleyball player, and he transformed that into pickleball with, you know, digging the ball out
that's
and things
wonder,
like that.
I'm trying to figure out the characteristics.
Hand-eye coordination, okay. Things like that. Just kind of knowing where to move around.
Reaction.
The court. Reaction, exactly. And then, I mean, there's some folks who are 70 years old that they just, they learn the intricacies of the game and how to play kind of the slow ball, the small ball, and they'll move people like me around like no other, just chasing the ball everywhere. That's what's so cool about it. You get all these different age groups that can all come together and be competitive in one atmosphere.
So you'll take pickleball over tennis?
Yeah, I haven't picked up a tennis racket in probably over a year.
Do you get as much of a workout?
I think so, especially singles pickleball, the court seems a little bit smaller, but because it's so fast-paced and you're moving so much, I think personally it can sometimes seem like more of a workout than tennis was. You're running around, moving around so much, your hand-eye has to be so quick and just on your toes, on your feet. It's a blast, and I love... They just opened up the Pickler in Ashwaubenon. They've got Pickleball Kingdom down in the valley. They've got a Next Level Pickleball, Pickle and Bags in Oshkosh. There's so many of these indoor facilities that are open now.
And I know some places, I know Manitowoc or Two Rivers, they've changed a couple of tennis courts to pickleball.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Manitowoc has a great facility, the Pickleball Connection there. It's Marinette has an awesome facility where they have dedicated pickleball courts. It's
we had a guy when we were in Oshkosh a couple of weeks ago. One of the guys here that runs a place, a pickleball. He was like an All-American track star, sure, and all these kind of things. And he's gotten their whole thing now into pickleball.
It's Is his name Jeff, by chance? Well, I don't want to throw you in the spot. But
that's Pickleball and Bags. That's the one you mentioned.
Pickle and Bags. Jeff Ericke. Yeah, Jeff's a great guy. I love playing with Jeff. He's fantastic.
So you're at that level then, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, he's almost like a world-class All-American track star.
I'm not a track star by any means, but Jeff, I've played against Jeff and with Jeff quite a few times. He's a great pickleball player.
I have to
player.
Tell you this. He's also coming on as a sponsor of the show.
Shut up. That's awesome. Yeah.
There you guys go.
What we should do is we should actually set up a competition between Emerson and him.
There you go.
And do it.
That would be much more entertaining than me and John. Good idea.
Let's do it. I'm in.
That'd be awesome.
You know what
we'd be like? We'd be like the two guys. Was it Pete and Biff? The two guys on Saturday Night Live that were hosting the bowling tournament. Remember, neither guy really knew much about bowling.
I don't know.
Oh, you got to look them up. Pete and so-and-so. Oh, God, you got to find them.
All right,
we're going to find them. Can you stick around a little bit?
I've got to actually go to a shoot, unfortunately. Yeah. So I'm going to have to bounce out after this one. But
okay.
It's always a pleasure, guys. Thank you so much.
I love having you here. Give yourselves another plug about what's coming on Thursday.
Yeah, Small Towns. We're headed to Appleton to showcase Jones Park and the pickup hockey there. That is on Action 2 News at 6 p.m. on Thursday. So make sure to tune in.
Keep up the great work.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much. Always special.
See you at the pickleball court.
We'll be there.
I'll be watching.
All right.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mano the Mayor here. 8:51, 9 degrees. Oh, it's going down 6 degrees in Green Bay. It started off at like 12, down to 6 in Green Bay, 9 in Appleton, 9 in Oshkosh. Wowzer. Nikki, we got you on because it's Women and Girls in Science Day. We thought we'd like to have you just give a little synopsis on what that means to you.
they science don't have maps. And maps.
Yes.
You're right.
So... probably not.
Okay.
A lot of conversation
regarding that. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's talk about something you do know. You're heading down to spring training.
Yeah.
There's always something good about pitchers and catchers reporting that just makes you feel warm.
Well, it's the combination of football being over, right? Super Bowl done, gone. Now we can concentrate on baseball season and the Cubs, Craig Counsell needed his pitchers and catchers to report on February 9th. So they are already in camp. And everybody else kind of starting to wander in this week. So definitely my favorite time of the year.
You know something I've always thought, though? They don't need to be so long in spring training.
Wouldn't you agree? It's such a grind.
It's like a season in itself.
Absolutely. And then by the time you get a season, an actual 162-game season, you're exhausted.
Yeah.
So sometimes when, as a fan, we get a little peeved about some of these off days. But these guys have been going at it since.
And in minor leagues, do you guys get any days off in the minor leagues?
Yeah. Yep.
Not many, though.
They have done a really good job of restructuring for...
I remember one time with the Timber Rattlers. This was years ago, you know, mid-90s or whatever. And the guy was talking, he goes, we got Thursday off.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's good. He goes, we don't know what to... They're like...
Do all the things.
Do everything. They have one day.
I hope it's nice out.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, if it's rainy and they finally get a day off.
Yeah.
Ugh, whatever. But it is... This is my favorite season of the year.
I know.
Baseball season.
I know. And you're going where? For how long?
So, while you are departed as well, maybe vacationing somewhere to be named, we're going to Phoenix. So we stay in the Glendale area, and we'll go to Maryville, home of the Brewers. And I don't know what our lineup.
May I just looked say at something? No disrespect. It's the only reason somebody would go to Maryville.
Kind of true. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. You are not employed by the Convention and Visitors Bureau of Maryville.
Okay.
No. I don't know, the most illustrious
as you would think.
Location.
The facility is fantastic. The Brewers facility is
great.
Well,
you haven't been down there since Antanasio put money into the spring training facility.
Last year?
You were there last year?
2 years ago.
You were,
I hosted that trip, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Brewer fans? Yeah. Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
The complex is amazing. Yeah. I mean, the cool part for fans, you go to something like that, and you're going to pay a pretty good price to go to the games these days. It used to be like a couple of dollars. Now it's like,
Right, but it's still not the price of a big league ticket.
No, but just for spring. But what I'm saying is, okay, so yes, that's expensive going into the main park and watching the main people play or whatever. Right. But with that complex, they have so many practice fields. Right. You can go just wandering around, and here comes like Yelich or somebody walking from the batting cage to the so-and-so, and they're almost like intermingled with you.
It's a very casual atmosphere and very family friendly, where you can make a day of it. In the morning, you can go walk around the minor league camp, and there's, you know, four or five fields that guys are working out on. So all of the minor league teams, are working out, and you can see all of the top prospects.
Exactly.
And they're
right from here to Todd away from you.
Right there.
Literally.
Fairly accessible. Most of the guys are great and will, you know, give you knucks, high fives, sign autographs.
Give you a ball.
Take a picture, with your family. But then, it's still work for them. They're still being monitored. But the facility that they have and the opportunities that they have, just tremendous down
but
there.
But I would say this. Read up on the prospects, before you go down. Then when you're there, kind of keep an eye on some
of
them.
I just need to have a conversation with my 14-year-old. He's got his finger on the pulse, so he knows who we're watching for and
perfect.
Kind of what's going on.
I was
going
to ask about that. Like, there's so many fields, so many players, so many teams, and do you have an agenda? Are you going down there for a reason? To follow something, someone, some prospect?
So because of Rob's role. Rob being the GM of the Timber Rattlers. So it's kind of shake hands and kiss babies, see the team, see the manager, check in, say hello.
But it's great for building up those relationships for all the different people in the organization.
Exactly.
That's the only chance you really have.
Exactly. Because everybody is busy. Once camp breaks, roving instructors and other coaches and stuff like that, you might not see until some random homestand the end of June. Yeah. So just to get some face-to-face time, maybe, he'll take people out to dinner and stuff like that. There's absolutely no responsibility for me or the family. We just go along and kind of
soak up some sun.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's amazing.
I love spring training. I love spring training.
From the time that our kids were 2 years old, they've been there.
That is a tradition for some families.
Yes, yes.
Quite a few families, quite
we
honestly.
We have...
That wasn't one for ours, but...
No, but...
But it's family friendly.
Oh, yeah.
It is super family friendly. And generations, right? Like my in-laws usually had made the trip with us. And that was neat as well, because then it's three generations of baseball, passionate baseball fans going along and making these memories.
I could see your kids bringing their kids.
I kind of hope so.
Yeah, I
kind of
hope so.
It's kind of weird to think about. You know, how far removed we're much closer than I would care to
than you
admit.
Ever counted?
Right, exactly. But it's pretty neat. So that's, we're very fortunate.
Awesome
for you.
You're doing that. I mean, that's a great family tradition. Yeah. And you say it's very friendly. It's and you're going to warm weather.
Exactly. Oh, sunshine. Can't wait.
Get out of here.
Yeah, that's right.
But, I mean, it's over a month away. So
all right.
Buckle up.
That whole area down there, you're going to have a great time. Well, you've been there, but Phoenix is awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know why I ever left
I'm
going
to go to, all your stomping grounds.
Go to AS. I'll tell you some of the bars I used to hang out in.
Oh.
All right. Thanks for being here, Nikki.
Thanks, Nikki.
All right. Have a great day, everybody. Back in tomorrow morning. See ya.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.